Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day, getting you ready for a spectacular weekend. Not sure you're going to top us. Ramos, I'm in Reno, Nevada. It's 70 degrees here. Is it really 82 degrees outside?
I think it's warmer than that, actually. I think it's probably like 85, 86, somewhere in there. Yeah, it's nice and toasty, as we'd say.
Yeah, put your shirt on. That doesn't... That's not...
I like my chest hair to hang out.
Yeah, it's just billowing out, really. Fenley's drinking a drink with an umbrella in it. And music... I can't get him to pay attention. He's putting wax in his surfboard during every break. Like, look, you got to reach out to people.
Not only is it great weather outside, but there is a high surf advisory. So let's just go shred some waves, Doug.
It is high surf advisory. Yeah, it's shred the gnar sort of time, right? Shred the gnar. Ramos, now it's supposed to be beautiful this weekend as well. Big outdoor plans? I mean, like, you can do outdoor stuff in Southern California.
Yes. I don't know about any plans, but I'm sure we will try to attempt to do something this weekend.
Doug, I'll call Suzanne during the break and I'll find out what they're
doing. Yeah. Whatever she says. Whatever you say, honey. Right? Whatever you say, honey, that's a very good line. It's a very wise man right there. I'm sure. Didn't you tell me the music that you were like for Christmas, you guys, you're doing your deck. That was your present to each other.
Yeah, it is finished. So we'll just be spending some time out there this weekend. Although up where we're at in Valencia, there is expected to be some winds. So hopefully it's not too bad.
Well, the windy problem is, now, do you do gas? Do you do charcoal? Do you do wood pellets? What do you do?
We do gas.
Now, are you allowed to do? I think gas is okay to do during the high wind stuff. It's
yes.
The other stuff you can't do.
Correct.
Okay, you going to grill some meat? Is that what you're going to do?
I think we're looking, we're forecasted for perhaps some carne asada tacos tomorrow night.
Carne asada, that is amazing. Great call. Yummy call. I like that a lot. Fenley, what about you? You working all weekend? Are you going to get some sun?
I need some sun.
Yes.
Doug, let me tell you, I'm as pale as can be. But you know what? I get freckles. I don't get tan. So I don't know if it's in my best interest. I am working.
You don't have to take off your shirt to just go and walk around in the sun.
Clearly,
outside.
You've never seen Brian Fenley walk down the street.
Yeah, if I took my shirt off, Doug, I would blind people.
Oh, that was Fenley? I thought I gave you some change the other day. You never know in something in Sherman Oaks. You never know. There is a Sherman Oaks quality to Reno. I got to tell you, like, you go into downtown Reno right now, you know, where not much is open, nobody's here. Plus, it is Reno. The outskirts of Reno are super nice, really nice. Like, you got this unbelievable view of the mountains. You're not far from Tahoe. Like, just, but you go to downtown, you're like, oof, biggest little city in the world. Oof, and it reminds you of that Sherman Oaks where you'll park your car and you might be next to a Lamborghini and then somebody comes out and asks you for change and claims to be a veteran. And you're like, I meant veterinarian, not veteran. Anyway, I'm intrigued by hires and what they are and how they make sense. Everything is about fit, right? Everything is, I think, about fit. And for me, I like the Robert Saleh hire with the Jets. Now, full disclosure, I know a couple other teams were really into him and he chose the Jets. I think part of his intrigue with it is they will get to every young coach wants to build a roster some. Like, you know, it all depends on the team. Some teams you're going to go to and the GM is powerful. You know, like whoever takes the Philly job, you're not really making roster decisions. Like, that's going to be Howie's thing. He's because one of the things that I think led to the break, the fracture between the coaching staff and the front office was the coaching staff made some final calls and not the scouting department or not the front office. You know, they had final say. So I'm intrigued by exactly how it goes down with Saleh. I think you'll have, you know, Joe Douglas, he was in Philadelphia for a while, but he's seen as a good personnel guy. What I like it is, though he's somebody who people know, he's also known for being a culture dude, known for being a high energy guy, known for being somebody that guys want to play for defensively. Does it mean they'll be great? It does not. But the first job of a head coach is to unite guys into one cause and to be a good leader and be a good communicator. I think he will do that better than Gase, even though oddly Gase had way more experience as a head coach. But, Gase is, I don't know. Gase is one of those guys. It was an odd hire to begin with, but the whole reason for the hire was, hey, we got a young quarterback. We got to save this kid. I can save this young quarterback. And it worked then, but it's not a good plan for what the Jets need now, and probably obviously wasn't a good plan for what they needed then. I also think that the hire signifies, because San Francisco had an affinity for Sam Darnold, and you're bringing over Mike LaFleur, that's Matt LaFleur's brother, who was, you know, he's another Kyle Shanahan dude. You're saying, hey, we're going to put in that Kyle Shanahan system, which is the old Mike Shanahan system, and we're going to run the football and play off of play action. And, oh, yeah, by the way, if everybody in San Francisco believed in Sam Darnold, pretty good sense that they believe in Sam Darnold as well. Why would you try and develop a quarterback when you have a guy who's already been through the bad time of his career and now you can help him figure out the good time of his career? I don't really like, but I agree with that move. I kind of feel like the Jets have made some good moves here. Doesn't mean it ends up with them winning a Super Bowl or even in the playoffs next year or in 2 years. But the idea behind it is a good one, or is a series of good ones. And it's Saleh's a defensive guy, but Saleh's also a motivator and uniter. And that all of those are the opposite of what you had with Gase. You got to find a way to totally change course when things are gone poorly. And I think that's a little bit of what Deshaun Watson is pushing for. It's not that he has to have Eric Bieniemy. It's that, look, we got to change course and change ways in which we're doing things, because that way, by his estimation, wasn't working. You bring in a culture guy in a place that has lacked culture. And oh, yeah, by the way, he's a much sounder, steadier, less chances taken defensive coordinator. He's also replacing, you know, Greg Williams, who was blitzed all over the place. And though it looked cool when they got home, when they didn't, it left the back end wide open. Jets insider Rich Cimini said, Saleh is regarded as an upbeat, energetic coach. The Jets coveted those traits after two difficult seasons under Gase, whose personality chafed some players. Ownership sought to find a CEO coach, someone who could galvanize an organization and build a winning culture. That's him. And I think they'll trade off of two. They didn't make the same mistake twice. They learned from their mistake. Props to them. Yes, Ryan Music.
What do you think, because I know you're a big guy in terms of like hiring guys from that you have experience with, that you've coached with before or have had some sort of connection with. What's your reaction to Joe Douglas making this hire and it actually wasn't someone that he has any previous experience with?
I think it's all if you're willing to communicate, and it doesn't mean it won't work. I think sometimes it can be overrated that you have a relationship, because sometimes, you know, it's like if you work with family like that, sometimes things can get ugly there. And who do I have to bring along because it's family? Like, oh, if I'm a Patriots guy and I hire a Patriots guy, he's got to bring my own Patriots guy. But there's a reason that some Patriots guys get out of New England, because they're not all that good. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So for Saleh, he's got carte blanche. Now he's going to bring over Michael Floor, who he really likes. Like, now I got offense, now I got defense, everything else. All right, we'll work together. I think the big thing is you have to have reasonable expectations for each other and constantly communicate, almost to the point of over-communicating. That's what you need. You don't need to communicate as much if you already have built-in trust and understanding of what two people are going to do. But in this particular case, he hasn't been a head coach before. He probably has some ideas about it. And this is Joe Douglas's hire that it's going to keep him employed or cause him to lose his job. They got to constantly communicate. You might as well plan a daily morning and PM call on a daily basis. Are we getting ready to see a huge upset this weekend, the divisional round? I'll give you my picks next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. You know what we should do? We should get to the picks.
I want winners.
Well, we got them. Five NFL, five college.
Five on three. One, two, three.
Five. It's 5 for 5 with Doug Gottlieb.
Let's go, five.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. I feel like this spread, I don't know. There's something about the Packers that people just don't want to buy into, right? They just don't. They don't want to buy into. The Rams take on the Packers. The Packers have the third best record against the spread this season. Packers offense is first in scoring. Most importantly, they're first in the red zone, and they're second on third down, second in yards per play. The Rams offense only scoring 20 points per game in the last 5 games. Now, do you like Cam Akers? Sure. Can they run the football? Yeah, some. And is that the weakness of this team? I guess. Do I think Aaron Donald might be the best football player in the NFL? You'd have a hard time finding me to argue that. But he is banged up. Okay, fine, I'll take a shot. He is banged up. Jalen Ramsey's terrific, but you have a week to prepare, or 2 weeks to prepare for the Rams if you're the Pack, and they've been playing great football, and they're healthy with David Bakhtiari being out as the exception. I think we're overthinking it. Would they be tight if it was anybody other than Aaron Rodgers? Sure. But it is Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to take the Pack, even though they're given 6.5 points. The Ravens are taking on the Bills. The Ravens are the second best record against the spread this season. So they've been proven Vegas wrong a good portion of times, or maybe proven Vegas right. The last 6 games, the Ravens are scoring over 34 points per game. You know, this is not an indictment on Josh Allen. It's almost an indictment on the Bills' defense. They first made the playoffs going back to the Tyrod Taylor era when they had a very, very good defense. That defense is not as strong. Just not as strong anymore. I think the Ravens, I just go money line on this one. They had the best kicker in the sport. I don't think their defense is great, and I do think that Stephon Diggs is going to break free when they do some of that man stuff. But I think they win the game. I think the Ravens are a team that will find a way to win a game. And I think that the Ravens are also convinced that we're just going to have Lamar be Lamar. We're not going to have him try and be a drop-back passer even if we get down. I like the Ravens to win the game on the road in Buffalo with no crowd. I know Andy Reid's great off a bye. I know Pat Mahomes is awesome. But the Browns' offense is third in the red zone, third on in time per drive. And I think the game plan is fairly simple. Run the football, and then you know, do yourself a favor, and look at the, do yourself a favor and take a good strong look at what the Ravens have, not the Ravens, the Chiefs have actually done here recently. You know, like this is a good Chiefs team, a very good Chiefs team that won a Super Bowl, and they're the one seed, and they did win a ton of football games. But they let everybody hang around, right? I don't care about the Chargers last game of the season. They weren't playing their guys. But the Falcons, that was a toss-up game. The Falcons could have won it. The Saints, 3-point game. Dolphins, 6-point game. Broncos, close game. Now, part of it says they won all these games, but why were they all so close? This is a 10-point spread. It's a 10-point spread. Do you know the last time? How about this one? The last time the Chiefs beat a team by 10 or more points. You know when that was? You want to take a guess? Week 8 of the season when they took down the New York Jets. It's been 8 games since. So this is not me saying I think the Browns get a win, but I do think they cover the spread. It's 7. I'm going to take the Browns. The spread's 10. I'm going to take the Browns. Buccaneers taking on the Saints. Tom Brady is 5-0 in the last 5 games. In his last five games, 14 touchdowns, one interception, 9.7 yards per attempt, and it's their third shot at the Saints. I think Antonio Brown is a difference maker. I'm a little worried with Ronald Jones not being healthy, but something tells me that game time decision will be he wants to play. And, you know, I don't know. I think Drew Brees' lack of arm strength at some point in time comes to roost, and that's this week. The Bucs are 3-point favorite. If you get 3.5, you'd be just smiling. But at 3, I still think the Bucs, and I'd take the Buccaneers at the money line. One more pick. The Chiefs and the Browns over-under is 57 points. Okay, so let's say you think that the Chiefs will score a bunch of points. Like, what's a bunch of points? Did they score 37? Okay, so 37-20 would be a push. I just, remember, this is a Cleveland team, third in yards per, in time per drive. I don't think there'll be enough possessions in this game. I just don't. So this is, again, me not saying, I'm not calling the Browns upset. The Browns win. I'm not going to get on the microphone Monday and say I called an upset. But I did say it'll be a lower scoring game than you think. I know some people think it'll be a shootout like that Monday night game was a couple weeks ago against the Ravens. And some of you think it'll be a shootout. I don't. I think they're going to try and shorten the game. The Chiefs will win. The Browns will keep it close and keep it lower scoring. Take the under. And that's the picks.
5 on 3, 1, 2, 3.
There it is. 5 NFL.
Let's go, 5.
5 college. 5 for 5 with Doug Gottlieb.
Boom!
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Ben Volen will join us momentarily. Of course, writes for the Boston Globe, covers the entire National Football League. We'll find out what he thinks happens ultimately with Deshaun Watson in a second. I'm intrigued by it, right? Deshaun Watson, we've been relatively quiet on Twitter, and then all of a sudden he said, I was at a 2, now I'm at a 10. That was today. Of course, that is a quote of somebody else who told Adam Schefter that exact same quote. So it feels like Deshaun Watson is either he or somebody really close to him is leaking this stuff that he just kind of reiterated today on Twitter. And that after Kyle McNair said that they had, in fact, reached out via text to Deshaun Watson. I just the take is a really simple one. It's like, look, dude, I do think that I don't think he's the entire problem, but he's just as much a part of the problem as anything else, and that you got to work together to fix it. And if the DeAndre Hopkins trade bothered you, why'd you sign the long-term contract afterwards? Now, could I think that, you know, Bill O'Brien gave him a promise of, hey, if you sign the long-term deal, you're going to be integrated into every conversation, and Cal McNair was unaware of said conversation or pretends to be unaware of said conversation? Yeah. Do I think if I'm Cal McNair, I use my star quarterback to help me make a decision? Doesn't mean he makes the decision, but use him as help? Sure. Sure. But I also just, I don't understand I haven't worked for these new bosses yet. Why not have a couple of conversations and hear them out on what their plan is and how they think things are going to go, and then we'll go from there. Is it crazy to think that the Texans would like to move on from Deshaun Watson? I don't think it's like I wouldn't do it. And you may say, God, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. No, I'm not. I'm just reasonable about it. If he was that good, why have they not been better as a franchise since he's gotten there? You got to tell me that one. Every other franchise that didn't have a franchise quarterback that has a franchise quarterback, the wins pile up, and it hasn't happened there. They've been just good, fine, 1-2 in the playoffs. Same record as the 4 years before he got there. That said, I'm also reasonable to think that Deshaun Watson has a ton of talent. He's a tough dude. He is well-liked. And, you know, if you look in the NFL draft, if Trevor Lawrence becomes Deshaun Watson, well, then that's a successful number one overall pick. I actually believe that. If any of these guys. So what, you're going to go through the draft to try and draft a guy who might eventually be as good as the guy you have? The one difference is the amount of money that he makes. Yes, Ryan.
I agree. I think Deshaun Watson's a very good NFL quarterback who you can certainly win a lot of games with, and if things go right, definitely have the potential to win a Super Bowl. My concern right now is it seems as though they've crossed a bridge that I'm not sure you can totally come back from, because that trust has been fractured in terms of telling him one thing and him at least being under the impression that they were going to include him on certain conversations, and they haven't. I mean, even the Eric Bieniemy thing, now it's like, okay, it feels a little too late, right? Like, your wife, for example, if she's like, hey, you know, our anniversary is coming up and you forget to get her something, and then like a day later you're like, oh, look, honey, it's the necklace you asked for. She's going to be like, okay, yeah, that would have been cool if you remembered, since I had given you a heads up on that for weeks, but clearly you forgot. Like, sometimes those relationships, even in the short term, he may be like, all right, yeah, thanks for interviewing Eric Bieniemy. But I feel as though if they try and play hardball and they keep him on the roster, this is only going to be an issue, you know, in the next offseason, in the next offseason. Like, it's almost as if this is an arranged marriage that is destined to fail at some point over the next 3 to 4 years.
Yes, unless it doesn't, right? Unless they revamp the roster. And, you know, I think all of this is, it's about having a conversation. Now, remember, you hire a GM from New England. They weren't having open conversations with Tom Brady about their roster. Right? They just weren't. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is, if not the greatest, the second greatest, whatever, quarterback in the history of the Green Bay Packers. They got rid of Jordy Nelson. That wasn't his call. He didn't like it. They drafted Jordan Love. That was Aaron Rodgers' call. He didn't like it. I get that you can say that you're upset or whatever, but like, the forcing the trade deal is, it's NBA stuff. I don't feel like the NFL. Now, the NFL has acquiesced. Jamal Adams, I think Khalil Mack, I don't know if he wanted a contract, so they moved him. There have been trades in which a guy has wanted out, and they have acquiesced to those, and let's get rid of him. Let's move on from him. So I think that it's really fascinating to see what Houston does. And this is a big thing that I want people to understand. I get this crap anytime I'm critical of a black quarterback. It's like, you're a racist. Like, no, dude. The idea of viewing all quarterbacks as quarterbacks, and not black guys, white guys, mixed race guys, whatever, is what's good for one is good for others. Now, there are different roles. Your backup, your role is different. Your rookie, your role is different. If you've experienced, like, all of these things are, our expectations are different. How much money you make changes the expectations. And my point is that Aaron Rodgers was really upset when they got rid of Jordy Nelson. Really upset. Aaron Rodgers was clearly not happy when they drafted Jordan Love. What did Aaron Rodgers do with that unhappiness? He went out and carpet bombed the entire NFL. So Deshaun Watson can be unhappy. There's lots of guys, lots of quarterbacks that are unhappy with player personnel moves. None of them do this. None of them do this. Let's get to Ben Volen. Boston Globe covers the entire National Football League. What do you think ultimately happens with Deshaun?
Yeah, you know, I think he stays just because, you know, the Houston Texans are not in the business of trading away a young franchise quarterback. Like, other than Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson might be the second or third most valuable player in the National Football League. And you could say draft picks or, you know, cap space or whatever, trade for Tua. Like, none of those players are Deshaun Watson. That is, you've got a bird in the hand there. So, you know, Nick Caserio, the first thing when he got that job, it was because of Deshaun Watson, you know, not to trade him away. So I think they've got a long time to, you know, let him cool down a little bit. And, you know, maybe they do let him have a little bit more input into the direction of the franchise this offseason. I tend to agree with you that, a little strange that the, you know, a player wants to have say in picking a head coach and a general manager. But that said, we don't know what was said between Deshaun Watson and owner Cal McNair. And if Cal McNair told Deshaun that he was going to use his input and then seek his input and then he doesn't, well, then I understand why Deshaun Watson would be upset. So that's the only thing, is we don't know what the owner actually told him. And so, you know, if he did say that, then I could certainly understand where Deshaun Watson's coming from.
Right. There's an I'm upset thing, and then there's an I'm upset I won't play for you. That's a different step. There's a different step there in my opinion. Ben Volen joining us, Boston Globe. Okay, but what about Nick Caserio? You live, work in Boston. Before you were a national beat writer, of course, you covered the New England Patriots. What's his MO?
Yeah, he's really been Belichick's right-hand man for the last, like, decade plus. And of all the guys they've lost the last few years, Matt Patricia, Brian Flores, I mean, Nick Caserio is as big a loss, if not bigger, just because he really runs the personnel department day-to-day. Like, trade deadline, Nick Caserio is the ones working the phones. Free agency, where the Patriots are probably sitting out the major free agents, but they're looking at kind of the second-tier guys. That's all Nick Caserio. It's Caserio's signature on a lot of the Patriots' contracts. So he's really kind of the day-to-day general manager, and then Belichick is the one who makes the big decisions, then gets all the credit for building the roster, of course. But, you know, Caserio was the GM. He was a de facto coach. Like, when they, you know, he played quarterback at a D3 level, so, like, when they worked out wide receivers on Tuesday, they had, you know, Nick playing quarterback, and he sat in the coach's booth during games and was on the headset with all the coaches, and he would help Josh McDaniels, hey, it's 2nd and 7, ball's on the 36, and they're bringing in an extra linebacker. So Nick Caserio just had his fingerprints all over the operation, and that's what the Texans are getting. They're getting a very unique executive who's done coaching and scouting and contract negotiations and can, you know, jump in on drills if he has to. Now the question is, you know, has Nick learned enough from Belichick, and can he build his own team? I think he's got a pretty good start there with having the quarterback. That's a big thing that you don't really have to worry about, assuming that they can get Deshaun Watson back with the program. But obviously the Belichick tree hasn't always done so well, and Houston is kind of putting on a wing and a prayer a little bit that Nick Caserio is the one guy from Belichick's tree that does have success on his own.
That's the voice of Ben Volen, Boston Globe, covering the entire National Football League. Urban Meyer, does it work?
I'm a little skeptical. This is a guy who, you know, NFL is a totally different ballgame. You know, at Ohio State, at Florida, he was annually picking the best players. And, you know, how often did – what I'm concerned about with Urban Meyer, or maybe not concerned, but I'm curious to see is, I mean, how does he handle the game management? Because, I mean, how often at Ohio State or Florida was he really in a tight ball game at the end where he had to manage the clock and manage his timeouts and decide when to go for two? And now he's got to work with the salary cap, of course. And the draft is a whole different animal. So, you know, he's always been known as a great college coach. Same with Nick Saban. You know, great college coach, couldn't necessarily cut it in the NFL. So we'll see about Urban Meyer. Also curious to see how he rounds out his staff, because you look at his coaching tree, it's all college guys. He doesn't have a ton of NFL experience in his orbit, so to speak. So, you know, he's a tremendous CEO type, and he's been a program builder. But this is a completely different ballgame than what he's used to at Florida and Ohio State. So, I wish I had a crystal ball, but I definitely would have some reservations about what Urban Meyer can bring to the table.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Ben Volen is our guest. Okay, let's sprinkle in some of these games. Who do you like? Baltimore headed to Buffalo.
In a dome, I really like the Ravens. And, you know, say everything I say with a grain of salt. I went 1-5 against the spread last week, so maybe just fade me. But, you know, I don't know if I like Lamar Jackson in the snow. And it looks like there might be some snow in the forecast on Saturday night. That was a big win over Tennessee last week. Slayed a few dragons there by winning on the road, coming from behind. But still, this is a guy, Lamar Jackson, still I think has something to prove whether he can play from behind. He's only 1-6 in his career when trailing after the first quarter. So this is a guy doesn't, you know, still needs to prove that he can play from behind. Josh Allen and that Bills offense has been phenomenal. They've got the home field. They're going to have the weather in their advantage. So I do like the Bills on Saturday night.
Okay. What about the Browns heading to Kansas City?
That's a tricky one. You know, I think the Browns are ultimately going to have a tough time replicating just the emotion and the energy from last week. That was, That was a big, big win for that franchise. And now they've got to kind of collect themselves and do it all over again. And I wonder if it's been a tremendous season. And that was, you can't take anything away from the Browns for that win. But, you know, the Steelers, they caught the ball 5 times. I mean, that was absurd, the sloppiness of the Steelers the other day. And that's the Chiefs aren't going to do that. They're going to come out and they're going to give you everything they've got. And I just wonder if we've been lulled into, you know, thinking the Browns are a little bit better than they are because of just how bad the Steelers were last week and to end the season. But, you know, the Chiefs getting a bye, you know, this is nothing new for them. Andy Reid and Mahomes and those boys, they know how to handle a bye. And this team went 14-1 in the games that count. So I definitely think the Chiefs are going to roll this week.
Okay, let's go to the NFC. Can the Rams go into the cold and beat the Packers?
I wouldn't put it past them, and defense travels in the NFL, and the Rams have an unbelievable defense this year, so much speed on that side of the ball, and I thought they were toast last week against the Seahawks, and Sean McVay proving once again that he's a heck of a coach, and I know that he lost to the Jets, and that one, I still scratch my head about that one a little bit, but you know, year after year, Sean McVay's Rams, they show up, and they come ready to play, and they win 10 games. And they can run the ball, like even with a quarterback with a broken thumb last week, they still ran all over the Seahawks. I think they can do a similar type of game plan at Lambeau Field, running the ball, play action with Goff, try to, you know, minimize Goff as much as you can. But with that defense, I think it's going to be a tight, close game, and I wouldn't put it past the Rams to pull off the upset.
Okay. Tom gets a chance at Tampa. Tom gets a chance at the Saints for a third time, but he didn't look good either the first 2 times. Does that change?
You know, call me a homer if you must. I can't lend myself to believe that Brady's going to lose 3 times to the same team in 1 year. Now, the two losses to the Saints were awful. Week one, it wasn't nearly as close as the score, and then week two, 38-3. That was the biggest dud we've seen on national TV in a long time. But that was still kind of like the middle of the season. I think it was week 9 or week 10. I do think Brady and that offense have been clicking more recently. Antonio Brown, Gronk, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, like they all have rounded into form a little bit. And Brady is, I think, playing much better. So I think the Bucs are a lot better than the team that just got trounced by the Saints in the middle of the season. And I still have my wonders about, you know, Drew Brees and the Saints. And, you know, that's a team that has run out of gas a lot the last few years in January. And didn't look great against the Bears. I know the Bears have a pretty good defense, but the Saints didn't look great last weekend. So, you know, I refuse to believe, like I said, that Brady's going to lose 3 times. So I'm taking Tom just for that reason alone.
Ben, great stuff, man. Hope you're well. Really appreciate you joining us and enjoy the games.
All right. Thanks, man. Have a good weekend.
All right. That's Ben Volin joining us from the Boston Globe, covering the entire National Football League. Why now for Urban Meyer to make the jump to the NFL? He'll tell you why, and we'll react next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Let's get you updated on the stories of the day. Let's get to the press.
The press.
So here's what we'd like to do. We like you to be informed, right? It's almost 5 o'clock in the Central Time Zone, 6 o'clock in the Eastern Time Zone, 3 here on the West. You missed something? Don't worry. Brian Fenley's got you covered. I'll react to the news. Go, B.
You got it, Doug. So Urban Meyer earlier today had his introductory press conference as the Jaguars' new head coach, and he explained exactly the number one motive for why he took this job and moved on to the pros.
How much did the opportunity to have the number one draft pick play into your wanting this job?
Huge. Shad got very involved in the entire roster, et cetera, and I think it's prime. You know, I am not going to jump into a situation where I don't believe we can win. I won't do that.
I'm happy as hell.
I mean, look, it's honesty. And so oftentimes in press conferences, you don't hear the honesty of it. No, I just thought I'd love Shad Khan and Jacksonville. He's like, you know, number one pick. I get a chance to pick my quarterback. And remember, they have more cap space than anybody else in the league, I think. And also, I think he'll be able to pick. You know, the Chargers were interested, but Tom Telesco's kind of already built that roster, already picked the quarterback. Doesn't mean he doesn't like him, but guys still like to pick their own stuff.
One.
The Atlanta Falcons have whittled it down. They have, according to reports, well, and they've also made it official, that they have their new head coach in Arthur Smith. Agreement is in place. He comes from the Titans the last 2 years. He ran an offensive juggernaut with them as their OC.
Roger that.
Now, you know, look, obviously they wanted to run the football. Some of that was the limitations of his quarterback. Some of that was they had Derrick Henry. It'll be interesting to see what he does now. What he does with Matt Ryan, and there's a substantial cap hit, and I do think that there's still some in there with Matt Ryan where he can still play. And my guess would be they want to run the football and find a way to run it, you know, with a guy who for a period of time was the best back in the league. I didn't like the signing, and I thought they overpaid him.
Yeah,
but you still have you got a good back there, and if you can run the football consistently, you can extend the career of Matt Ryan.
Right.
The Lions have an agreement with a new general manager, and it seems like they have zeroed in on their next head coach. And according to reports, it's Saints assistant head coach / tight ends coach Dan Campbell. Obviously, they in Campbell and the Lions cannot meet in person until New Orleans season has ended, so we might not get an official confirmation on this until after the season is finished. But yeah, what do you think about this potential marriage?
All right, here's again, you want opposites. Matt Patricia had never played professional football, right? Dan Campbell played. Matt Patricia was a guy who thought he was smarter than everybody else, rubbed people the wrong way. Dan Campbell plays the dumb jock role, and he's the new Jack Del Rio. Everybody loves him. I was in Miami to do an NFL game, and I'm telling you that to a man, everybody loves Dan Campbell. Like that guy, positive energy. The question is, does he try and bring Jameis Winston with him as his quarterback, or does he try and make it work with Matt Stafford? Most people think they're done with Stafford.
I love you.
The hope of having Ronald Jones in the divisional round, the Bucs running back not good, called a game-time decision, according to Buccaneers head coach Bruce Arians. They have the running back as questionable. So, Doug, that means it's Leonard Fournette getting the start.
Okay.
Well, look, Leonard Fournette, I mean, this is why he came there, right? This is supposedly why he came there, to run in big games, and he has had some moments, and he should have fresh legs. That'll be fascinating.
AFC divisional action. You also have Sammy Watkins and Clyde Edwards-Helaire questionable for the Chiefs.
That's big. The Clyde Edwards-Helaire, they've struggled to run the football, but he was kind of the missing piece, and they used him so much early in the season. He's had all that extra time off. I couldn't see him not being healthy. Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
All right, if you missed any of my picks, here they are kind of quickly. I like the Browns to cover and the under in that game. That's two of the picks. I like the Ravens to win. I like the Packers to win and to cover. And then I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win. I like them on the money line. Have a great, safe weekend. It's the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio.